Welcome to Behind the Bar Show. I'm your host, Tim Morrison, a.k.a. Mr. Martini. On this episode, it's all listener feedback, the whole damn thing. I guess it's safe to say I got a lot to say in response to recent feedback. During our break, we'll feature a quote by my darling Clementine, so let's get right to it. Hi everyone, and welcome to the 39th episode of Behind the Bar Show. I've received a lot of wonderful feedback since the last show, so I'm going to go through them and give responses to them. There were a lot of great questions, so I believe this episode will be full of all kinds of informational tidbits that may be helpful for you. I'd like to first say hello to Mike from Conroe, Texas, who sent me a message on my MySpace page and thanked me for introducing him to the wonders of single malt scotch. So glad I could help, Mike. Thanks for joining up on my MySpace page. Next, we have an email, an MP3 mail from Sunshine at the Zen Tiki Lounge podcast. And here's that recording.
Aloha, Mr. Martini. This is Sunshine from the Zen Tiki Lounge podcast. I wanted to send you a quick MP3 mail, because that's what the kids are doing these days, to tell you how much I learned from your show. In the Zen Tiki Lounge, we specialize in tropical and exotic cocktails, but I do pick up some great techniques and how-tos from your show. When you took a moment to explain that when twisting lemon or other citrus, it's the oil that's released that's important, I finally figured out why a few of my cocktails here in the lounge didn't taste the same as the ones I ordered in the tiki bars. It's the oil and the essence that gives the drinks the flavor. As a way to say thanks, here's a nice recipe for a refreshing cocktail. It's called the Nui Ula, translation Big Red, but it sounds a lot better in Hawaiian. So get your shaker and add 1 ounce pomegranate juice, 1 ounce fresh squeezed OJ, gotta be fresh squeezed, 1/2 ounce dark rum, Meyer's rum is good, 1/2 ounce gold rum, a dash or two of Angostura bitters, and 1 cup of crushed ice. Throw that all in the shaker, give it a nice vigorous shake. Now take the cap off that shaker and pour everything including the ice into your coconut mug. Don't have a coconut mug? A nice rocks glass works pretty good too. Put a nice thick straw in there and garnish with an orange wheel twisted with a pierced cherry. One more thing. I wanted to ask if you would do a show on cocktail fads. I just use pomegranate juice in my cocktail, and pomegranate juice is all the rage these days. Could you tell us about a cocktail fad of the past? Or maybe guess the future of fad cocktails? Anyways, enough said. Thanks again for all of your inspiration. Mahalo.
Thank you, Sunshine, and the drink sounds wonderful. Yes, always freshly squeezed juice. And thank you for the show idea as well. There are definitely a few cocktail fads showing up lately. Pomegranate, like you mentioned, fresh local fruits, cachaça seems to be making a big hit nowadays. Anyway, I'll leave that up for when I do that episode. Mentioning pomegranates, one thing I like people to try is to make their own grenadine. How many of you know that grenadine is originally flavored by pomegranates? I've mentioned making simple syrup many times, being sugar and water. Now simmer the seeds from one pomegranate for about 40 minutes or so in the simple syrup to release the color and flavor. Right now is a great time to try this, as pomegranates are now coming into season. If you want to know how to best remove the seeds from a pomegranate without getting the color all over your hands and making a mess, is to do it in the sink filled with water. Tear the pomegranate open and work the seeds out with your finger under the water. It'll help float the seeds away and help the seeds from popping while you do this. It'll also keep your hands a lot cleaner. I really recommend doing this, as the flavor is so much better than that chemically enhanced brightly red stuff that you buy in a store. So thanks again, and say hello to Pumpkin for us. Hello to a new listener, John in Washington, D.C. John wanted to pass on a variation of the Americano, which his wife just loves. His wife doesn't share his love for Campari, but does like Bianco Vermouth. So he made her an Americano using Bianco Vermouth instead of sweet vermouth, and they both loved it. It had a very fresh, fruity flavor that they found to be great for the hot summers in D.C. Thanks for the information, John. I got to admit, for someone who doesn't like Campari, I'm surprised just changing the vermouth and not the ingredient not liked, Campari, made such a change. Very interesting. Thanks again for the email. Now try adding some gin to it and making a Negroni and see how that comes out. Hello, Megan in Pennsylvania. Megan emailed me to say how much she enjoys listening to the show. She feels the presentation is clear and concise, and she gets a kick out of the fun facts, quotes, and tidbits that I include along with the recipes. She informs me she is actually a couple years away from the legal drinking age here in the U.S., but enjoys the show purely for entertainment, but wanted to let me know this just in case I don't hear from many people who don't or cannot drink alcohol. Thanks, Megan. No, I don't hear from many individuals under the legal drinking age because this is a show completely focused on alcohol. I'm glad you like the show. You'll be legal drinking age before you know it. Just know that consuming alcohol is something that should be done in moderation. The only way to really appreciate wonderful cocktails is to do so in small amounts and not overdo it. It is wonderful to try all kinds of cocktails and to learn how to truly enjoy gin, rum, whiskey, tequila, or vodka, but what's even better is doing so with company. A cocktail isn't the same if it isn't in a socializing environment. That's really what it's all about. Enjoy a well-made cocktail to help you relax and enjoy the company of friends, new and old. So thank you very much for that email, Megan. Hello, Jeff from Oakland, just across the bay from me. Jeff tells me he's been enjoying the show on bitters and was curious if the recipes for drinks using the dark liquors like rye, bourbon, or whiskey are interchangeable, and when do you use one versus the other? Well, thanks for the question, Jeff. Actually, all three you mentioned are whiskeys. I'd recommend checking out my two whiskey episodes to learn more about them. I find whiskey to be one of my favorite subjects, and I had a blast doing those two episodes. Yes, they can be interchangeable to the point where if one makes a good drink, there's a very strong chance the other type of whiskeys will too, just different. As a matter of fact, if you look at a Manhattan which uses rye or bourbon, you could turn it to a Rob Roy by using scotch or a Patty cocktail by using Irish whiskey. It really comes down to taste. Definitely play around with the different types of dark spirits, and you may be surprised at some of the wonderfully complex drinks that you can come up with. Hello again, Jonathan from Tallahassee, Florida. Jonathan is a longtime listener who has emailed me once before. He came across a recipe in Food and Wine magazine that he wanted to share, which he believes was attributed to the Absinthe Bar and Brasserie here in San Francisco. It's a wonderful restaurant. The drink is Le Demon Vert, 1.5 ounce gin, 1/2 ounce absinthe or substitute, 1/2 ounce fresh lime juice, and 1/2 ounce velvet falernum. Shake together and strain into a chilled cocktail glass. Garnish with a licorice stick. Thanks for the recipe, John. Steve K. from Ireland. Hello and thank you for the email. Steve was listening to my Not So Iced Tea episode and wanted to share his favorite, the Beverly Hills Iced Tea. In a shaker filled with ice, pour in 1 ounce vodka, 1 ounce gin, 1/2 ounce Cointreau, 1/2 ounce freshly squeezed lime juice, and 3 dashes of orange bitters. Shake and strain into an ice-filled sling glass, top up with champagne, Prosecco, or cava, and garnish with a lime wheel. Thank you so much for adding this recipe. Sounds wonderful. I have not tried it. I will definitely have to, and I'll let you know how it goes. Next, a big shout out to Steve and Paul from CocktailBuzz.com. Hello, guys. It was a pleasure meeting you here in San Francisco. These guys have started a website with videocasts and should be posting to iTunes and YouTube soon. Their site is about cocktails and food to go along with, and with hot spots to try food and drink, primarily in New York City and Brooklyn, but also places that they travel to. They made a trip to San Francisco not too long ago, and I met Steve and Paul for cocktails here in the city. I just got over a cold and still had congestion while they were here, which wasn't too pleasant, I'm sure. Now I hear Paul ended up getting sick near the end of the trip, and oh, Paul, if I got you sick, I am so sorry. I'll owe you a cold-free cocktail again the next time you guys are in town. I'm going to share with you guys just a bit of information you will be receiving from cocktailbuzz.com. Here's a recipe created by these guys. Thank you both for allowing me to share this. It's called the Z Martini. Stir in a pitcher half filled with ice for 30 seconds. 2 ounce Zbrojka vodka, half ounce dry vermouth, 1/4 ounce white vermouth. Strain into a chilled cocktail glass. Now here's their description and a food pairing as well. Wafer-thin burnt sugar cookies will pop into your head as you sip this martini made with Polish bison grass vodka. The two vermouths make it smooth with a hint of flan. Serve it with some pigs in the blanket dipped in mustard. For more drinks and food pairings like this, head on over to www.cocktailbuzz.com and keep an eye on these guys. Okay, so now I'm going to go to a break, and when I come back, I've got another doozy for you. Mac, you ever been in love? No, I've been a bartender all my life. Henry Fonda and J. Farrell McDonald in My Darling Clementine. And welcome back. And now I'm going to go into my last listener feedback for this episode, which is actually going to close off this whole episode. And it's probably going to be quite a big one. That's why I separated it from all the others with the break. It comes from DC in Sacramento, California, who sent me a message on MySpace that I must read on this show because, well, you'll see. His email states, "Mr. Martini, I have a question for you. Maybe you can address it on your next podcast," which I love, by the way. "I recently saw a TV program called Great Cocktails. I think it was on the Fine Living channel. I don't know if you've seen it, so here's a brief synopsis. The presenter, a veteran New York barman, with the aid of several clips, interviews, presentations, shows the home viewer how to make certain cocktails, garnishes, etc., so that one may throw a brilliant cocktail party and impress your guests, etc. As a professional bartender, I find the interviews, technical info, etc., fun and exciting. I also find the idea that anyone at home can make their own professional quality cocktails a bit nerve-wracking. But oh well, there's plenty of things I do myself rather than hire a professional, so I guess it all balances out. What do you think? I know you do a lot of private party work yourself. But my real question is this. In the show, the main demonstrating professional, who I don't hold in high regard, because at one point, whilst garnishing a drink, she put her finger right in the drink. Why they didn't reshoot or edit it out is beyond me. Always shakes her Boston shaker with the glass and tin completely vertical and the glass on the bottom. In the Food Guru podcast, the chef does the same thing. And he says to shake the drink so you get lots of ice shards in the drink to cool it. He then tells you to tap the shaker on the edge of the bar. Well, as someone who has been a professional bartending instructor, I just about had a heart attack. Could you please share with your listeners the proper way to use the tools of the trade? The most used one, of course, being the shaker. The TV show Bartender also uses an old-fashioned glass as her ice scoop. Where do these people come from, and how do they end up getting better gigs than us? On a positive note, the show does feature Gary Reagan every 10 minutes or so. Thanks for the show, David, aka DC. Thank you for the message, David. Wow. I might see another bonus video show coming up on how to use the tools of the trade. For now, I'll try to do my best that I can in audio. Let me answer your first question on what I think about a show that teaches people how to make cocktails themselves at home. Considering the fact that's essentially what I'm doing here, a show on cocktails, helping others learn how to make a better cocktail themselves, I don't really have a problem with it. I think it is a great thing to get this knowledge out there. The more our customers know the complexity that goes into making a truly fascinating cocktail, the easier your job should be. How? Because the customer will, one, know how to order what they mean or what they really want, two, have a bit more patience waiting for the drink knowing that it takes a bit longer to make it properly, and three, I find those who have an idea how this profession goes, they tip better. I also don't think that this is going to stop or going to be the end of private bartenders. I throw a large cocktail party every year, a Christmas cocktail party, and although so far I've been doing the bartending myself, I have been thinking of hiring a bartender to allow me to mingle more since the party is growing in size every year. I think if a person knows how to make good drinks, they'll want to throw more cocktail parties. And who really wants to spend all their time making drinks at their party? Most people, unless they're crazy like us, would rather hire a bartender so they can spend their time being a good host or hostess. Finally, by what you said about the show, I'm scared more by the information and techniques that the show is teaching people. I'll take it that's a good segue to your next question and request. I guess the question is, how do these people get better gigs than us? Well, maybe it's time for us just to march on into the TV producer's office and demand our own show, eh? I know what you're saying, though. I've seen a lot of scary information and techniques from people on TV that are saying they're experts, and I've yelled at the television countless times because of it. Now, before I go into using a shaker, let me make sure I emphasize something you mentioned. You brought up the fact the lady put her finger in the drink. People, if you see your bartender do this, tell him or her you saw it and you do not want that drink. If I saw a bartender grab the rim of my glass, that's bad enough. But if he actually had his finger in my drink, I don't want to drink anything at that establishment. It's time to walk out. The rim of the glass is solely for the drinker and not the bartender. Do not put your hands on the rim of my glass where my mouth is going to go. A good bartender always carries a glass by the base of the stem or by grabbing the bottom of the glass furthest from the top of the rim. I take it a step further and say never grab the rim even when taking away an empty glass. It just comes down to presentation. Now the shaker. This might surprise you, but I'm first going to say to shake a Boston shaker any way you like. The goal here is to chill the drink. And if you reach that goal to your satisfaction, that's great. But I'm a bit concerned by the visual image I have of how DC stated they were shaking it. If you don't have a good seal, and it could be quite easy to lose the seal in shaking this way, you're going to have liquid going up into the metal shaker and then down the sides, past the glass, and be dripping all over you, in your hands and everywhere. This is just the strangest way of shaking to me. I'd have to see the show to see how they're doing it, but I tried it for fun, and I must say it was extremely awkward, even in a perverted kind of way, actually. You know you're picturing it. You know what I mean. Okay, what method do I recommend using for a Boston shaker? Man, I really see another bonus video show coming out of this, because this is really gonna be visual, but let me give this a try. So you've put the ice and ingredients into the shaker, stuff to be shaken into the glass, and you've set the metal tin on top of the glass. You've tapped it down to create an air seal. How do you know you have an air seal? Slowly lift the metal tin up, and the glass should rise up with it. Now you want to turn the whole thing over, so the metal is on the bottom and the glass is on top. Have one hand grasping at the bottom of the metal shaker, put the other hand firmly around the glass, hold it sideways above your shoulder, matching the side with the hand holding the glass, and shake it back and forth vigorously. Doing it this way has the metal container facing forward, or you could say towards the customer. This is beneficial. One very good reason, which could cause multiple negative effects: if you break the seal while shaking it, you could, if you were shaking it with only one hand, which I do not recommend for beginners right off the bat, the glass could go flying forward and hit your customer. Even if you were shaking it with two hands and you had the glass forward and the metal tin facing back, when the air seal broke, you could have liquid flying out of the shaker and into your customer's face. Hold it with the metal tin facing forward. That way, if anything does happen, it goes behind you. Next, let me explain to everyone why DC freaked out over using the glass to scoop ice instead of a metal ice scoop, because this is a huge no-no in the industry. Never use glass to scoop ice out of an ice bin. You can easily break a glass this way, and how easy do you think it would be to find every bit and piece of clear glass shards in a large bin of ice? If a bartender broke glass into the ice bin, they would have to empty the entire bin of ice, clean the entire bin to make sure that they remove every possible trace of glass, and then refill it with fresh ice. All the time the bartender's doing this, he's not making drinks. Tisk tisk. It's seriously bad form. Why not scoop ice with your hands? That's even worse form. Don't touch my ice. Just like I don't want you touching the rim of my glass. Not only that, there are regulations about using a sanitized ice scoop for ice being used for human consumption. I'd love to get into other tools like speed pourers, muddlers, etc., but I just don't think it lends itself very well to audio. That's why I'm putting it on top of my list to work up another bonus video to show how to use tools properly. My last video was a huge success, even though the quality was really bad. It was the content that made it successful, and hopefully I can borrow some better gear to do a better video this time, but if not, hey, it's all about the content, right? One other thing, he mentioned that they actually used the Boston Shaker, that they broke the seal, they opened it up by tapping it on the counter. This is also just bad form. I mean, it doesn't really look really good to your customers watching you. You're banging the thing against the side of the bar. First, you're probably denting the wood on your bar, not making your bar look really well, really good. You could be denting the metal in your Boston Shaker, which could cause it to not create a seal the next time you use it, so you can end up damaging your Boston Shaker. And really, it's just unnecessary. The best way to break the seal of your Boston Shaker to separate the glass from the metal tin, which looks good in form and will keep your Boston Shaker from being damaged, is just to tap it with the heel of your hand. See, when you're done shaking and you've put the shaker back to vertical form, you're holding it with a metal shaker on the bottom, so all the ice and the liquid, everything is drained into the metal tin. You still have your glass sitting on top. Well, the way the glass actually sits in the metal tin, it's kind of sitting at an angle. What you want to do is you want to look for the point where the glass is touching the edge of the metal tin, and right where it breaks free from the metal on the outside, just down a bit, right where you know where the edge of the glass is. You just need to give it a nice tap with the heel of your hand, and it will break the seal, the air seal. So you just give it a tap, wiggle the glass, and pull it free. You really don't need to bang it against your counter. The issue about shaking so hard, and you want to make sure there's ice shards, which probably means you're using smaller bits and pieces of ice, saying that's the way to chill the drink. That's not really true either. I would actually rather use larger pieces of ice cubes itself, because you want to get as much contact of ice to the liquid to chill it, but you don't want the ice to melt really fast. If you have ice shards, what it means is that you're just breaking the ice up into little pieces. It's melting like crazy. You're adding a lot of water to your drink. I've always said that water is very important to a cocktail. It is what smooths it out, gets rid of the sharpness of the alcohol. But you still don't want too much of it. So it just waters out the drink. So you want to use larger pieces of ice that will just melt slowly and not breaking up into a lot of shards, a lot of pieces of ice. I've heard people say that if you shake up a martini and you pour it into glass, if it doesn't have ice shards floating on top of it, it doesn't mean that the drink is cold enough. They say it meaning that the vodka is so cold that the water in the vodka is actually freezing right on top of the vodka, you know, in your glass. And of course, I'm talking about a vodka martini here, because that's normally when I hear this, they talk about shaking just pure vodka. They want to see those ice shards. And so I'm always trying to show that, you know, you can actually stir vodka with ice and make it just as cold. Stir it for about 30 seconds with ice and find out exactly how cold it is. You know, check the temperature of both, using a thermometer or something. I bet you can get it just as cold, but it won't have ice shards. The ice shards isn't water in the vodka freezing on top. It's all those ice cubes in your shaker or the small pieces of ice that you've just broken up into thousands of little pieces, and it's just the ice shards passing through your strainer. But I'm kind of getting on a tangent, so I'm going to leave it right there. Like I said, I'm really going to plan on doing a video show, and we'll get more into how to do all the tools at that point. So that is it for this show. Thank you all for the feedback. If you'd like to send me feedback, email me at behindthebarshow@gmail.com. Don't forget about my website at www.behindthebarshow.com, where I sometimes post extra material as well as an archive of information from all my episodes. You can also get direct links to all the other sites I use: Frapper, Flickr, MySpace, Podcast Alley, etc. And thanks again to everyone. And remember, cheers, drink responsibly, please don't drink and drive, use a designated driver or public transportation.